Church, this morning we are on the last of our series on prayer, and I want to begin this morning by asking the question, do you struggle to pray? All right, seems like I'm the only person. Okay, maybe there are a few. Thank you. All right, good to know that I'm not alone. Well, we are not alone in terms of struggling to pray. When Jesus called his disciple to watch and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew chapter 26, twice they were found to be sleeping. As believers, we too are called to pray. But despite knowing the importance of prayer, we often struggle to come and to seek the Lord's face through prayers. Our biggest challenge is perhaps a misconception that prayer is a boring Christian ritual and duty to be performed. Yet, we feel guilty if we don't pray, and we are afraid that if we fail to pray, we will not receive God's blessing on us. Unfortunately, how we view Christian prayers is very much shaped by our Asian culture and practices. It was E.M. Bounds who said that prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed. Prayer is a special privilege that God has given to all who believes in Jesus Christ to have direct access to God, to get a glimpse of what is on God's heart, and for us to express what is on our hearts to God. So this morning, we will be looking at this special privilege that God has given to us by examining the Lord's Prayer. A prayer that we are also familiar with, a prayer that we pray so regularly, but perhaps with little understanding. Firstly, prayer is about our relationship with God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. While hallowed be your name implies that God is holy and worthy of worship in heaven and on earth, God was never addressed as Father. He was never being addressed as Father in the Old Testament, a very personal and very intimate term. But through Jesus Christ, in the New Covenant, we were told that those who believe in the name of Jesus are given the right to become the children of God. We often look to God as our Lord, our Master, and our King. Nothing wrong with that. But we somehow have taken it for granted that God is also our Father in heaven. And few to stop to think what that actually means. As children, we are given this special privilege to have direct access to our Father in heaven. And what that means is there's no longer the need for a priest as a go-between between us and God, and there's no longer the need for sacrifices and burnt offerings as in the Old Covenant before we can come to God. While we enjoy this special privilege, we must not abuse it. So often when we walk into God's throne room, we demand God to act on our prayers like a spoiled child. God, I want this. God, I want that. God, you should do that. Don't we? We have forgotten that God's true desire for prayer is to build an intimate relationship between the Father and his children. And I know for some of us, we have a difficult relationship with our earthly father, and that has somehow hindered our relationship with our heavenly Father. And I want to say this with respect and care and love, no matter the state of our relationship with our earthly Father, know that our Father in heaven loves you so much to give you this special privilege to have direct access to him through prayers. Through prayers, we are given the privilege to pour our hearts to our Father, to make known to him our concerns, to share with him our fears, to tell him our aspirations, what we really love to do, or the things that really inspire us. And we can also make known to him our requests, our petitions. And through prayers, we are also given the privilege to hear what is on the heart of our Father. If few weeks back, my family and I came down with COVID, all five of us, because we love each other so much. And I thought mine would come and go very quickly because my symptoms were very mild. And yet, I was still tested positive on the ninth day. I was feeling really lousy because we were supposed to leave for a trip to Malacca for a short holiday with my in-laws. Although technically I was discharged by the seventh day, we decided that we will not risk infecting my in-laws. So we were at the verge of calling off the trip and I was feeling really lousy. I remember praying to God, God, I really need a miracle today because we are leaving for a trip tomorrow. How can I still be down with COVID? We booked the trip and we are looking forward to this trip. Please, Lord, I really need a miracle. And God spoke, son, test again. And I was going, what, God? But I just did the ART test like, you know, less than 2 hours ago. And Lord, do you know how expensive the ART test kit is? And he went silent. I was actually driving. I was in the car driving. And I was actually at the traffic junction waiting for the right turn arrow to turn green. And for some funny reason, it didn't turn green for 2 rounds. And I panicked. I said, God, I got a message. I got a message. And guess what, my friends? My second ART test was negative. I know there are some doctors here, they're probably thinking that, you know, he didn't do his ART test kit right. So just to assure you, I did the second test and it was negative. Amen? So God heard and answered my prayers. But the greatest joy for me that day was not the miracle of testing negative, but it was the experience of that personal and intimate conversation with our Father in heaven and feeling being loved by Him. And so I want to say to you, my dear friends, prayer is not something we do to remind God of our problems, but to remind us of who God is. He is our Father in heaven. Secondly, prayer is about the will of God. When we pray, we often demand from God, but seldom do we pause to ask, Lord, what do you want? What do you actually want? And or how do you want us to pray? We need to realize that when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, verse 10, we are essentially agreeing with God that every outcome on earth is ordained by Him in heaven. We like to demand things from God when we pray. We like to receive things from God when we pray. So growing up, I was drawn to books on prayers, especially those that taught on asking God for things, and then God will somehow answer those things miraculously, or God will give miraculously. I love that. So without the right understanding of scripture and context of where the authors were coming from, I decided to test God. I prayed for a bicycle, not because I needed one, but because all my friends have bicycles. The bicycle never came. I thought I didn't pray hard enough. So I prayed harder, I prayed longer, and sometimes I even prayed louder, just in case God didn't hear me. Still, the bicycle didn't come. So, I prayed for good grades in school, and it never came, obviously because I never put in the effort. So when I started work, I prayed for more money, and God decided that He had enough. He called me into full-time ministry. Friends, we need to stop making demands, and instead, we need to pause and seek the will of the Father. Imagine with me the outcome of our prayers if we were to pray according to the will of God our Father. In Matthew chapter 17, there's the story of a boy who was suffering from seizures. The father brought the boy to the disciples and they couldn't heal him. So the father brought the boy to Jesus, and he said to our Lord, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures, and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water." And what did Jesus do in this instance? How did he respond to the plea of the loving father? Pray for healing? No. Instead, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy, and the boy was healed instantly. Matthew chapter 17. We are often looking at treating the symptoms of seizures without knowing that the Father's will is to free the boy from demons. Jesus discerned, prayed, and acted on the will of the Father, and the boy was healed instantaneously. We need to realize that we are living in a spiritual world, my friends. And there are things in this spiritual realm which we will never understand or comprehend. So unless we discern and know the Father's will, our prayers will be ineffective and will be without power. So how do we discern the will of God? This is what our Lord Jesus promises when he taught the disciples in John 16 on the Holy Spirit. He, referring to the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus promised that as we come before the Lord in discernment, the Holy Spirit will make what is on God's heart and declare it to us. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is also a reminder that our Father in heaven has sovereign control, authority, and power over all things in heaven and on earth. And I know for some of us, we find it hard to accept the fact that we don't have control over the outcome of our prayers. And it is even harder when our prayers are not answered. In the near 30 years of my ministry, I have to deal with many unanswered prayers, especially those dealing with the lives and salvations of people. Over the years, my wife and I, we have lost many good friends for various reasons, and even recently. Without fear, each time we pleaded with God for their lives, and without fear, each time we pleaded with God for healing. But instead, God chose to take them home. And it's so easy to say that they are a better place. They are indeed. But I think of the parents who are left behind. I think of the spouse who are left behind. And I think of the children who are left behind. And they will grow up not knowing their parents. Why God? My family and I, we have also been praying for a long time for salvation of loved ones, family members and friends. While some have responded over the years, others are straying further away from God. It is especially painful when people we care and truly love are rejecting the gospel, no matter how hard we try. And I'm sure some of you have similar experiences. Why, God? We ask. Truth is, we probably will never know the answer until we meet our Savior. But what we need to do is to continue to trust God. We will continue to see dimly on this side of eternity, but one thing is certain and for sure, the Father's love is unchanging. I've learned to surrender myself to the Father's will and accept that He who knows the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, has the best outcome in store for every situation and for every petition that we may make through prayers. God knows, and we can trust Him. And for those who are disappointed and discouraged because your prayers were not answered in the past, or perhaps the eventual outcome of your prayers were entirely different from your expectation, do not give up praying. Do not give up praying. God is faithful, and He longs for you to know what is on His heart, the will of our Father in heaven. Thirdly, prayer is about depending on God. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A lot can be said about these three verses. A lot can be taught, but I will focus our attention on the four action verbs. Give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. We live in a sin-filled and darkened world. We are constantly tempted to sin against God. We need to realize that humanly, we don't have the power and the ability to overcome sin and temptation. We need God. We need God's help. And only God can forgive our sins. Only God can lead us in the path of righteousness. And only God can deliver us from evil. David knew that, and so he prayed in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Psalm 51. Church, as long as we are on this side of eternity, we need to depend on God to overcome sin and temptation. And Jesus also taught the disciples to depend on God for their daily needs. Give us. In the biography of Mother Teresa, there was a story of how her orphanage was at one time short of food supplies and funds, and there was only enough to feed the children for 3 days. In their desperation, the staff came to Mother Teresa and suggested, "Let's reduce the meals. Maybe we can stretch for a few more days." Mother Teresa objected and insisted that the children be given the same amount of food for every meal. Before she retreated into the chapel to pray, Mother Teresa said to her staff, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." True enough, on the third day, just when they thought they had consumed was their last meal, a local merchant came knocking on the door and asked to see Mother Teresa. He offered the orphanage a truckload full of food supplies, which he could not sell. When the staff accounted for the supplies donated by the merchant, there was enough to keep the orphanage running again for 3 months. Wow! Mother Teresa was right. The Lord provided. Do we trust God when we pray, church? Do we trust God when we pray? Or do we pray because it's a duty to do so, but deep in our hearts we carry with us doubts? Doubts that God is able to answer our prayers. A mere 45 days after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron because they were hungry and without food. Exodus chapter 16. After experiencing the greatest and the most amazing miracle at the Red Sea, the Israelites doubted that the God who led them out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea on dry land has the ability. They doubted that God has the ability to provide them with their daily needs. Did God feed the hungry Israelites? Of course he did, with manna in the morning and quail in the evening. For 40 years, God fed them faithfully. So, do we trust God when we pray? Church, the arm of the Lord is never too short to save, nor his ear too down to hear. Isaiah 59. For nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1. We worship a God who is more than able to hear our prayers, and we also worship a God who is more than able to provide for all our needs. We need to trust God, and we need to pray with more faith. Now, let me conclude. In the last 3 weeks, we have heard different sermons being preached on prayer. What are some takeaways for you? More importantly, how do you intend to put into practice what you have learned? A deeper life in Christ, my dear friends, begins when we build our relationship with our Father in heaven on our knees through prayers. As a community in Cathedral, I want to call us to step out three areas of our prayer life: our personal prayer, our family prayer, and our corporate prayer. We need to intentionally set aside time each day that we can come to our Lord and Savior and King and our Father in heaven. And we need to come before Him in our personal prayer. Secondly, we need to come together as a family to pray at least once a week. As a family, you know, gather together and pray for one another. And it's a wonderful opportunity for parents to teach our young children to pray, and also for grandparents to demonstrate for our young children what it means to trust God. Thirdly, we need to prioritize our church prayer and praise on the fourth Friday of each month. I can't emphasize enough the importance of corporate prayer in the time and season that we are living in. We are dealing and facing extreme challenges and issues that's way beyond us. We are now affected by wars, political crisis, climate change, and some of these things are happening so, so far away, but it's impacting us. And then there's the issues of food shortages, financial crisis, and we must not forget that the fight, the battle against COVID is not over. The only way to overcome this perfect long storm is to come together as a church to seek the face of our Father in heaven. And this is what God, our Father in heaven, promised King Solomon and also his promise to us. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, listen to this. Verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Let us pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning, acknowledging, Lord, that we have so often neglected our time with you to press. Forgive us. But now, Lord, help us. Help us to come before you, Lord, and knowing that, Lord, your whole intention and desire, Lord, is truly to just converse with us and to deepen this relationship with us. And, Lord, for some of us, we have encountered time after time unanswered prayers. Lord, continue to give us the faith to trust you, to know that, God, you are able. Help us to align our hearts to yours so that we may know your will, and let your will be done on earth as in heaven. So, God, we pray together as a church. We want to commit ourselves to the three areas of prayer life: our personal prayer, our family prayer, and our corporate prayer. Help us, Lord, we ask, that your Holy Spirit will enable us to prioritize this time with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you.